It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I really
don't. Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Living Out Loud.
Welcome to Living Out Loud with the Dr. Frieda Show. My website is drfrieda.com. And today we have three wonderful guests. The first guest is Erica Spiegelman. The second one is Jean Finelli. And the third one is Cassandra Bialis. Welcome. It's going to be a great show with a lot of wonderful questions that I can't wait to ask. Erica Spiegelman is our first guest, and she's going to be talking about helping changing lives by working with individuals on personal growth. Welcome, Erica, to our show.
Thank you for having me on.
There's a lot of, toxic relationships, and there are a lot of people out there who really suffer, so this is very important segment to really help those. You know, what would you recommend would be a first step to surviving a relationship that's toxic?
Yeah, well, I also healthy boundaries would be the first thing I would say.
Okay.
You know, I'm an addiction specialist and counselor, and so I counsel and do therapy with people, couples, family members, and some of those couples are in toxic relationships. Even if it has nothing to do with, substances, it's just kind of it's patterns that are usually formed in relationships. And I think having healthy boundaries and understanding what boundaries are is the first step, by understanding that, you know, you're able to understand you could say no about certain things and don't feel like you're pushing someone away, or you're not going to abandon somebody. And so there's a lot of these things that we need to be able to recognize first in the relationship.
So when you speak about boundaries, that's very difficult to know how to set that up with any kind of relationship. You know,
any kind, right.
Any kind. People need space, and anonymous research is saying that the more space, actually, the better it is to be involved in something that's more exciting, the less you take each other for granted. So what does that mean? What kind of space do you think they're talking about?
Well, I think what space does is it prevents extremes in relationships. So by setting boundaries, you could avoid painful extremes, like giving too much of yourself versus too little, idealizing versus devaluing. You know, neither extreme is healthy. We need a balance in relationships. So we need to learn that, by setting boundaries, you could, sometimes we violate other people's boundaries, we're not realizing it. And so to have that space and seeing how you feel just being alone in healthy solitude is helpful. And if you have a partner that, interprets that as you're pushing them away, you're shutting them out, then that is where we need to begin to explain why boundaries are healthy. Because so many people think that boundaries are something that is, they're creating a gap, and there's a distance now, and they feel disconnected. Instead of, really, the whole purpose is to feel actually more connected at the end of the day.
That's true. It is scary. You do feel that someone is pushing you away. But then you're talking about someone who's becoming codependent on that other person.
Enmeshed.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too enmeshed. Right.
So there's a middle ground between being too dependent and too independent, and that's a tricky thing, really, when you have to make that kind of leap from one area to the other and trust that kind of experience. So when we're talking about addiction, this is relationships with addiction. Do you feel that relationships survive addictions?
I do, actually. I think when two parties are able to communicate in effective ways, that they can survive addiction. And they can, I just wrote a book called Rewired, and I talk a lot about that. A whole chapter is about boundaries. And I think if people both two people in a relationship, whether it's a romantic mm-hmm. relationship, whether it's a work relationship, both understand that these boundaries will help strengthen the relationship, then they could approach it in a different way. They could, you know, reframe it in their head and not be so scared or fearful about it. But I do think that there has to be a willingness on both parts. Both people have to be open-minded to it.
Absolutely. You have to be on board. Otherwise, you'll have to have conflict and problems. So, absolutely. So,
right.
You know, when you talk about drugs and you talk about that kind of addiction, what kind of drugs really do have the worst impact on a relationship? Is there any specific ones? Or are they all the same?
I think they all play a role. I mean, if you are drinking alcohol, for instance, and that's the way you de-stress at the end of the day, or that's something that is part of your life, whether it's social, whether it's a dependency, whether it's addiction, I still think that doesn't allow you to be as present as you probably would be. So I think take the time to connect being present and sober with, you know, in a relationship is important. There's a lot of pharmaceutical pills out there now. I see a lot of that in my private practice. We have a lot of people coming in addicted to, you know, painkillers or anti-anxiety medicine like Xanax and Clonopin and things like that. That also gets in the way a lot of the way two people communicate. It's just they're all basically Band-Aids that, you know, either cover up what's really going on, but eventually we bleed out, and it's not a sustainable way to live, you know, and it's not a sustainable way to have a relationship.
So tell me, Erica, do you think that our relationships can help with addictions and possibly even prevent some of them from reoccurring?
I think we have to be, all of us need to be really mindful about who we surround ourselves with. So mm-hmm. we need to make sure that we're with like-minded people that respect and value our authentic selves. So you have to have a partner that loves you for who you are, that's willing to work on things, that's willing to be open-minded. You can't be around people that feed you negativity or that are living a negative existence. So if you're in a relationship with someone who is an alcoholic, it's going to be pretty hard for you to feel like you're making a difference, that they, you know, respect what you're doing. It's going to be incongruent. So I think it's important to identify all the positive relationships in our lives, number one, and number two, then identify which relationships are detracting from your life, which relationships are draining you, taking away your energy, not adding to your life. We have to recognize both.
Yeah.
And, hey, Erica,
yeah.
I just want to weigh in, Dr. Frieda, real quick. I just want to make sure everyone knows where to find Erica Spiegelman. You go to her website at Erica, E-R-I-C-A, Spiegelman, SPIEGELMAN.com. You find all the details and information. And Spiegelman, I just want to know if I can ask you just one quick question. Is that you talked a lot about, you know, getting involved in the right relationship, boundaries of good, bad relationships. Is there a chance that you could be in a relationship with somebody who may be bad for you, yet could be somewhat of a therapeutic relationship where you learn to overcome something about yourself? So the purpose of that bad relationship, you may actually be better off because of that bad relationship than if you were in a relationship with a person who was just completely accepting of you and maybe some of your self-destructive habits?
It's a very good question. And I think for my own, my own take on that is, and with the thousands of clients I've seen through the years, is that every relationship we have is there for us to learn from. So there is a lesson to extract. Exactly. We could be in a romantic relationship and it can't, you know, it may not be the healthiest one, but it can, if we can reframe it, teach us about ourselves, to teach us what kind of boundaries we may need moving forward, to teach us what our non-negotiables are, to teach us good things, what kind of love we do want. You know, I think that most of us don't recognize that relationships do expire sometimes, and when that does happen, to let it go. I think that's the biggest problem I see, is that people are very fearful of change, and they don't want to, like, let go of something because of history or because of guilt or because they're attached. But at the same time, I really tell my clients that it's a beautiful thing, too, when you can recognize, wow, I learned a lot of lessons from this person, and now it's just expired. There's nowhere else for it to go.
And that's the hard part, to know when to do that, to know when to let go and not to continue with the repetitions and the pain. It's very, very difficult to make changes, as you know, even if it's for the better, to just break away, because the relationship becomes so addictive itself.
Right.
You continue both. I guess you have to break one in order to break the other. Seems
exactly.
Like what this topic is all about. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear again where people can reach you or your website.
Yeah, yeah. So my book Rewired is going to be out on April 28th. So in 2 weeks, very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Los Angeles. I have a private practice here, and I have all my information on www.rewired.us and then ericaspiegelman.com. So there's a site for the book and all the book launch details, and where I'll be in New York and LA for signings and all over the country. So people could find
mm-hmm.
me there on either website.
Well,
yeah.
It's been an inspiration to hear about this, and I know you're going to make a lot of difference to a lot of our listeners out there, and we really appreciate it. And the answers were fabulous, very extremely helpful. So thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank
Erica
you for
Spiegelman.
Having me.
Thank you. Our
thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, Dr. Frieda, your next guest is with us right now, and her name is Janine Finelli. She is a certified health coach, and she's a speaker with her own private practice. She works with people on maximizing their wellness, and I believe at one point in time, she may have actually heard you speak. So, without further ado, please welcome to the program, Miss Janine Finelli. How are you?
I'm lovely. Thank you, Ryan, so much.
Hi, Janine. And how are you?
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Now I have to listen to you speak, too. I guess it's my turn. We have to make this equal. So maximizing your health and wellness is what we're talking about here. And
right.
that there's so many areas we can talk about, especially with our long winter we had, health and wellness. We need to get a kick of sunshine so we can feel a little bit healthier.
Exactly.
What are some of the things that you would advise us to do?
Well, I recently published a book. It's called Love Yourself to Health, and
mm-hmm.
Love Yourself to Health with Gusto, and it's an ABC guide for surviving a toxic relationship. So
mm-hmm.
it's really a whole person approach, and it's based on my 10-year toxic marriage. And as a health coach, and while I was practicing as a health coach, and going through this within my own personal life, I realized that there's a lot of people suffering in silence, and the effects of a toxic relationship are manifesting in ways which are showing up in our well-being and our health. So that's the premise of my work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so it's showing up. I'm sorry, Ryan. Am I speaking over you? Because I heard you.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. So, you know, you say that you should empower yourself with love and should surround yourself in positive ways. And sometimes it's difficult to do that when there's so much out there being presented that is negative. And you have to push that away. How do you do that? How do you do both? How do you center yourself and yet deal with all this outside influences and often mm-hmm. very negative?
Mm-hmm. And that's the $64,000 question, right? And that's what a lot of people ask me. How did you do it? How did we not know? How do you look healthy? How are you smiling? How we had no idea. And so at the root of everything is the relationship with ourselves. The relationship that we have with ourselves is woven through every other relationship we have. And so the reason my program is called Love Yourself to Health, because the only person that I was not showing up for, I was showing up for my kids, and I was packing the lunches and sitting in the carpool line and going to the meetings and the plays, and I was showing up for my clients, and I was showing up for social engagements that I had with my spouse at the time, but I didn't show up for myself. And that really hit home with me, and I stopped, and I kind of brought myself into the eye of the hurricane, and I asked myself a question. I said, you've given everything you have. There's so much types of abuse out there. People deal with verbal abuse, physical abuse, financial control, emotional abuse. And do you want to literally give this person your cholesterol, your high blood pressure, your weight, your heart, your digestion, your sleep? Do you want to fall apart at the seams, or do you want to build a brick house instead of a straw house that can withstand stress and illness and everything else? So in a sense, it was, am I choosing to live, or am I choosing to let this kill me? And that's kind of the space that I brought myself into, because in our heads, we know we deserve better. We know we should be eating better and we should be sleeping more. But how do we do that? And why do we do it? And it requires falling in love with yourself. And that day, I realized, I got tattooed on my wrist, love is kind. And every day I looked at that and I said, am I being kind to myself? Am I being kind to myself? What does that look like? That means saying no. That means nourishing my body with the right foods. That means drinking healthy water. That means being able to X out of situations that weren't going to raise me up, but that were going to bring me down. So I kind of had to fall in love with Janine, which I never had before.
It sounds so simple, but yet it's so difficult to do.
Can I ask you and Janine a question for you both?
Sure.
Okay. Do you guys both feel that a person who is, let's say, grossly overweight or mistreating their body, is that a reflection? Do you guys find that it's a reflection of somebody with poor self-esteem issues, or is that a symbol or a sign of somebody who's even self-destructive to a degree?
Well, overeating is really something that is a distraction. It's a way to fulfill yourself even when you know you're not hungry or it's not good for you. So it's immediate gratification. It's very hard if someone is saying something that's upsetting you and you want to make yourself feel more comfortable, food is right around the corner. So it's really hard not to tempt yourself with that. But, you know, it's much, much better, of course, to work out the problem, but it's not immediate, and that's difficult for us to do often. We don't have the kind of tolerance. So that's part of it. That's part of why we overeat and why we don't look at the problems, as we were just told that we should really do, is combat this underlying situation. Isn't that right, Janine? Is that something you agree with?
I completely agree with that. I think overeating is just one of the many tools that we use to numb ourselves and to release that serotonin, or to justify feeling really awful that day. And so whether it's overeating or, you know, I've seen women who are in great shape and they look like $1 million, but guess what? They're going home and they're eating M&Ms and drinking wine. And, you know, that's equally as destructive, although when we look at them, we don't see that. So the damage can show up in different ways, and overeating is a way that we numb ourselves, and I enjoy food like the rest of us. But when you fall in love with yourself, you like your sleep, and you like your mental clarity, and you like to balance your hormones, and you like working. You know, physically, you like having the vitality to get through the day. And a lot of that is tied to how we're nourishing our body through food. So, yes, I absolutely agree that it's a way that we numb ourselves.
It's absolutely wonderful advice, and we all need to listen to this advice that you're giving. Tell us again, what is your website? Where can we reach you so our viewers can know how to contact you?
Thank you. It's my name is Janine Finelli. And it's JaneFinelli. And it's JanineFinelli.com. And my website is also LoveYourselfToHealth.com.
The ABC Guide for Surviving a Toxic Relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And it was our pleasure. And we enjoyed having you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
A lot, Janine.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Okay,
this is
Dr.
also
Frieda.
Very informative. It's, I'm telling you, if we could listen to this advice, we'd all be in great shape.
Well, we have a very interesting guest, our final guest on the show, and I'll introduce her. Her name is Cassandra Bialas. She's a dating expert and producer on SiriusXM's What She Said, and she's going to talk to you a little bit today, Dr. Frieda, about how dating was today in comparison to where it was in the modern era.
Wow.
So, all right, Cassandra, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hi, welcome to our show. Great
Thank
to
you.
Have you.
Thank you for having
me. So, our pleasure. So, you know, tell us about dating a little bit. This is something that, you know, it's becoming more and more complicated as the years go on.
It is. It is. I think there's just so many different ways now that you can go about getting yourself a date, and so many different, you know, there's, you have apps now that you can go on. You can go online. It's not how it used to be when maybe you were set up back in the day. I mean, that's still definitely a method that people use in today's society, but there's just a lot of other options now.
Okay. Hey,
what
Cassandra.
Are the options?
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, I just want to say that it's a question for you both. Dr. Frieda, when you were dating, I guess in your 20s, what was considered chivalry? What was considered an act of chivalry that a man could do? And Cassandra, what is considered chivalry in the modern era with all our technology? So I guess, well, Dr. Frieda, you want to take that one first?
Well, you know what's really on my mind, and you're not even asking me this, so I have to tell you anyway. I'm sorry to say this. What's on my mind and what's really bothering me is today when people are dating, it's always somebody else around the corner because the internet has Match.com and whatever, and so we don't give everybody a chance.
Yeah.
And then when they're living together, and, you know, if you get married, problems are going to happen anyway, but you're married. And here, you know, problems happen, and they leave. So this is the disconnect, the way we're dating today, that we don't really give anybody a chance. I'm talking about we. I'm not in that place anymore. But it's just a disillusioning situation for people that they have to have this difficulty with dating and bonding and having long-term relationships. It's just it's not as easy as it used to be. And it's just a difficult, painful situation to see people in their 30s single looking for the right person. And here I gave my speech. That's it. I'm finished. But I just wanted to throw that out. Sorry, but it's
no,
just
you,
has been
you,
bothering
you're right.
me lately.
No, you're right.
Know.
It's true. We don't really give people a chance. Maybe because we're so used to having everything in front of us and having everything online.
Yeah.
So if you are online and you meet somebody that way, you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. I mean, have you heard of the movie or the show Catfish? Have you heard of that term?
No, I haven't. Oh, yes, sure.
Yeah, there's a movie and there's a TV show. Basically, it's people that online date either on their phone or on the computer, I think it is mostly. And you can have a whole new profile than who you actually are. And it kind of is a show that demonstrates this, where people meet online, they say they're one thing when they're really another thing, and they go to meet up with each other, and that's exactly what happens. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into, because who knows what the internet can make you, right?
It's so sad. You know, a funny quick story, and this is so interesting, I wish we had more time, but I have a patient who went on a date, and the woman that he saw was shorter, older, heavier, I mean, everything. And he did something horrible. He excused himself, went to the men's room, and never came back. I'm very, very annoyed at that. That was very
sad.
Cruel. But
that's,
you know, that's
mean.
The epitome of what online dating is. Ryan, are we over?
It's
is that
true.
What it is? Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
no,
very
it's
true. And
that's pretty amazing.
That's very sad.
At least stick it out for a little bit. You owe that person that much, I think.
You owe the person the opportunity to feel good even if you don't like that person.
Exactly.
What's
10 more 15 minutes of your life, right?
Yeah, it was very cruel, and I
yeah.
think it's not only about you when you go out. So what advice would you give us with this new kind of dating that we have today?
Well, I think be very open-minded because like I said, there are so many ways, and it can be overwhelming, but give everything a chance. If somebody does want to set you up with somebody or might not necessarily think it'd be a good match, but just think, hey, you're single, why not? Don't say no. you know, give it an opportunity, see what's out there. If it doesn't work out, then that's fine. At least you gave it the chance. And I don't know, I guess allow yourself to be in the moment and go out when your friends want you to. And if there is a chance to maybe go to an event that you normally wouldn't, something out of your comfort zone, do it. Put yourself in a situation that you might not normally.
That's such great advice. And, you know, we're talking about modern dating. And then there's this other kind of dating where people are actually fixed up. And I wonder sometimes if that's not even a better way to go, where they're fixed up and then they decide after a few dates whether this person is someone that they could really take seriously. They go in a whole different direction. And by then they already know the history. They know what that person wants for the future. Mm-hmm. It's a roadmap to longevity in a relationship. So we're talking about modern, which is the modern type of dating, and you're saying be spontaneous, be open. It doesn't have to be perfect. Don't take
it so seriously.
Exactly.
You never know what can happen.
Seriously. That's true. That's such an important thing to remember when you're dating, because dating can be a pain in the neck. It really can.
It's exhausting.
You have to get dressed up. You have to always act like you're happy when you're not.
You put on a brave face.
Put on impress the person that with all your skills and abilities. Are you single?
I am.
See, so you know more than me about this stuff. You're experiencing it for sure.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
more than I would like to.
But you know the truth. At least you have choices ahead of you. You're not stuck with the wrong person.
I hope so.
Doesn't that sound better in a way?
sometimes, maybe, yeah.
Well, when you find the right one, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot to offer, I'm sure. It's not a problem. It's just a matter of time, believe me.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, once you're with the person, you're with that person. So are you looking for anything special, or are you just riding the waves?
Just riding the wave, really, yeah. I think, and that's another thing. Don't be so picky, because I used to be, right? And you realize after, you'll just see what comes along, right?
You see what comes along, and just when you're married, you find problems. When you're not married, you
find
problems.
Right, there's always a problem, yeah.
You may as well get married. That's what I'm giving you my advice.
Thank you.
This is my experience here, but I think you don't need it. I think you're going to be fine.
Thank you.
Really fun talking to you. Sorry about
likewise.
I would go longer, but you were we
don't
had
worry.
Two instead of we have three guests today,
no
which
problem.
Was really our pleasure. And
thank
now
you.
Am I saying the right thing? What she said, Ryan, was that the
yeah?
The
well,
intro
actually,
before?
Work we learn more about you, Cassandra. Work
yeah.
we learn more about you.
Okay, so yeah, what she said, radio.com. is where you can learn more about the show. I am on Twitter, Cassandra_B, and Facebook as well.
Sounds
okay,
great. I would love to listen to you, and I think I will.
Thank you. Well, it's
you
not
sound
me.
Like
it's,
you have a lot to say. Excuse me?
Thank you. You won't hear me, but you hear the ladies that I work with. I produce the show, so they have a lot more to say than I do, so that's a lot.
Well, if they do, then it's going to be fabulous, because you have a lot on your plate as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
All right, Dr. Frieda, three action-packed guests, lots of advice, lots of love. Where can people learn more about you?
Well, you know, I have this show. I have my website, drfrieda.com. And hopefully they'll keep seeing me more in the media, being interviewed on other shows, and have some great topics to talk about. I have a blog now that drfrieda.com as well that I'm putting out. So I have a lot to say, a lot of posts, and the news keeps coming, so I have a lot to say about that as well, my psychological perspective on the news. So I'm all over here, and I'm keeping busy.
That's good, and let's remind everyone that they can come back and listen to your great show next Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So
looking forward
Dr.
to
Frieda.
It. You never know who we're going to have as a guest, but that's the fun part.
Absolutely. It'll be a great one. Everyone, thank you so much for listening.